First Samuel chapter 30, reading at verse 1. Now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south, and Ziklag attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken captive the women and those who were there, from small to great. They did not kill anyone, but carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city where it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives had been taken captive. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. One translation says he strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Then David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, please bring the ephod here to me. And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. Pursue them, for without fail you shall pursue and recover all. The Bible calls David a man after God's own heart. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, God spoke to the prophet Samuel to go to the house of Jesse and anoint one of his sons to be king over the whole house of Israel in the place of Saul, whose kingdom had been rejected. We learn that Samuel came to Jesse's house. They put on a feast, and he had Jesse to call each of his sons to come and to pass before them. 1 Samuel chapter 16 verse 6 says, he looked at Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before me. But the Lord said, no. So Jesse called Abinadab, made him to pass before Samuel. And he says, neither has the Lord chosen this one. 1 Samuel 16 9. Then Jesse made Shammah pass by, and he said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. In 1 Samuel 16, 10, thus Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen these. Jesse had 11 sons, and 10 of them lined up before Samuel to be anointed as the future king of God's people. They were handsome. They were strong. They looked like kings, but they were not God's choice. God's choice was not the handsome and strong and the ones that looked like kings. God's choice was a little shepherd boy that was out back keeping the sheep. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 11, Samuel said to Jesse, are all the young men here? And he said, well, there remains yet the youngest, and there he is keeping the sheep. We learned that they sent for him, and in verse 12, when Samuel saw him, the Lord spoke and said, arise, anoint him, for this is the one. Anoint him, for this is the one. David didn't look like a king. His family didn't recognize the kingly anointing that God had placed upon him. As a matter of fact, Samuel went and got all of his other sons and kept this one outside the house, outside the feast, and only brought him when he asked. His own family didn't believe that he had what it took to be king. But how many of you know it's not up to what your family thinks? It's not up to what your neighbor thinks? It's not up to what your compatriots think? It's what God thinks about you. Hey, in 1 Samuel 16, 13, we learn that Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed David to be king over Israel. What a moment. What an exciting time. Have you ever wondered how glorious that moment was? Now, they didn't anoint with oil the way we anoint with oil. We just put a little dab on your forehead. They took a horn of oil and they poured it over him. Listen to me. It flowed down over his hair, down over his face, into his beard, down onto his garment, and then it got under his feet. Why? Because he's anointing him to be king. And when God anoints you to be king, he wants you to take a deposit of that anointing and leave an oily footprint everywhere you go. Now listen, when you looked on the outside, David didn't look the part. But God doesn't look on the outward condition. God doesn't look at where you are right now. God looks at your heart. And he looks at your potential. God looked at his heart and he saw a king. David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, experienced the awesome presence of God and was anointed as king. 1 Samuel 16, 13, then Samuel took the horn of oil and he anointed him in the midst of his brethren. I mean, right in the middle of his brothers, those big, strong, good-looking guys. And David was short of stature. He was small. And God, right in the middle of them, God poured the horn of oil over his head. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. Now listen, I want to show you something here. When they poured the oil over his head, that represents the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And David is no longer the same. See, we think I can encounter God and I can stay the same. Oh, you can't encounter God and stay the same. See, that's why we don't have revival in the church. We want God to come and revive us and take us back to a former glory or a past time. No. When you encounter God, you're never the same again. Listen, the Bible said from that day forward, David, the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. So the two things that happened, David would never be the same again. And number two, he was anointed as king, but he was not ready to be king. You see, God anointed him, but then God put him through the school of the Spirit. Anybody ever been in the school of the Spirit? I used to hate when I'd go to class and they'd say, we're going to have a pop quiz today. For all of you that didn't read the chapter last night, you're in trouble. I was in trouble because I didn't read the chapter last night. Well, all through the school of the Spirit, they're different tests. They're different encounters. God put him through the school of the Spirit. You may have a call on your life, but God will not release you to your assignment until he first puts you through the school of the Spirit. In our text, we learned that David was greatly distressed. Now, why was this anointed man of God who had a promise over his life, had an eternal destiny to fulfill, in great distress? After David was anointed to be king, he killed Goliath. He was exalted in the sight of the people and became a great warrior and a commander in Saul's army. And the people would sing, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000. Saul became jealous and sought to kill David. David had to flee from Saul. He lived in caves and had to continually run for his life. While David was in the cave of Adullam, in hiding, trying to stay away from Saul, out of reach of his army, something happened. Those who were in debt, those who were distressed, and those who were discontented came to David, and he became their captive. And we learn he became their captive. We learn in 1 Samuel 30 that David and his 600 men are in the land of the Philistines. As David is in the cave, God begins to send him the people that nobody else wants. The people it's been said about them, you'll never amount to anything. You'll never be able to do anything great. You'll never amount to anything. You'll just be lucky if you survive. They're distressed. They're in debt. They're the people that nobody else wants. Listen to me. Some of us were those same people. We were the people that everybody else had given up on. We were the people that nobody else wants. But God said, I got other plans. And they came to David in that cave. Now listen, he has an anointing on his life. But how many of you know a king hiding in a cave from Saul's army is not too appealing? But what did David do? He produced out of them what the Bible later calls David's mighty men. They went on and killed giants, subdued armies, and did great things, and they were champions in David's kingdom. But when they came to David, they didn't look like a champion. Listen, we might not look like a champion right now, but God is not finished with us yet. We're still in school, still learning lessons. Still taking tests. What's God doing? He's preparing us. These 600 men became champions. They became his mighty men. In 1 Samuel 30, I believe that God included this story in the divine record to encourage us, to give us hope when we encounter attacks from the enemy. No matter this morning what the enemy has stolen from you, no matter what the enemy has taken from you, you can pursue and recover all. How many of you have had some stuff stolen? Say amen. How many of you like to get some of your stuff back? It's time to pursue it. It's time to pursue, and without fail, we shall recover all. So let's look at this story for a few minutes. Number one, I want you to know that David suffered a disastrous defeat. In 1 Samuel 31, we learned that David and his men had been rejected by the lords of the Philistines, and they were away from home at a little place called Ziklag. Ziklag had been provided to David, to his men, as a place where he could have safety from Saul. He's living in the enemy's territory. And he's gone, but he's on his way back. And when he come back, verse 2 said, it says, when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day, 3 days' journey, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and burned it with fire. When David and his men came close to the city, they began to sense that something was wrong. There were no exciting reunions with their wives and their children. There were no greetings from the children who would be excited to meet their fathers. Instead of the smell of home cooking and the sense of home, now what they smell is charred homes and a city in ruins. What had been a place of enjoyment and peace had now crumbled in disaster. David and his men had suffered a disastrous defeat. In a few moments, they lost everything, their families, their homes, and their possessions. Verse 3 said they had taken captive the women and those who were there, from small to great. They did not kill anyone, but carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters had been taken captive. Expecting to come home to the embrace of your family, you find that they've been kidnapped, and your goods stolen, and your home and your things burned with fire. In one moment, everything changed, and they lost everything. You see, the sweet psalmist of Israel, the man after God's own heart, the one anointed by Samuel, found himself at the very end of his rope. Many of you have suffered loss at the hands of the enemy. The enemies we encounter, they're not natural enemies, but they're spiritual enemies. The New Testament teaches in 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 and 4, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds." The name Ziklag means enveloped with grief. David finds himself enveloped with grief. It's said that there's a granite monument at Wilna, Russia, which says on one side, "Napoleon Bonaparte passed this way in 1812 with 410,000 men. And westward it states, "Napoleon Bonaparte passed this way with 9,000 men." You may have suffered loss today. David and their men were attacked without warning, caught off guard, and seemingly lost everything but God. You might have been blindsided by the enemy. You might have been attacked. You might be in a place of loss. You might be in a place of difficulty today, but God. It's not over till God says it's over. Now, this is not the end of the story. Secondly, I want you to note that this loss gave way to devastating discouragement. Let me show it to you. What was David's reaction to this devastating news? Same as ours or anyone else would be. Verse 4. "Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep." David and his men wept until they just didn't have any more tears. They wept until they couldn't weep any longer. Reverend Jim Mooney writes, he says, "What does a child of God do when discouragement sets in and he feels useless? Like a complete failure, abandoned by God, rejected by those who once cared." Well, there are four responses to discouragement. Number one, we find in verse 4. They wept until they had no more tears. That's despair. Sometimes you just cry and you just don't have any crying left in you. They wept till they had no more tears. The second response is anger, verse 6. They decided, "We'll just stone David." It's amazing how we can turn on somebody in a hurry. I'm telling you, things can change. Anger. David's their captain, their champion, and they're ready to stone him. Number 3, we look for somebody else to blame. It's her fault. It's his fault. When God came into the garden, he said, "Adam," he said, "it's that woman you gave me." He looked at the woman, she said, "It's that serpent." They blamed David. The people that he led and the ones who are closest to him are now angry and want to stone him. That's a common response. We look for somebody else to blame in our crisis. But then I want you to notice the fourth response. Verse 6, it said, "David encouraged himself in the Lord." See, you can have despair. You can have sorrow. You can get discouraged. You can get angry. You can blame somebody else. But I've come to tell you that what you need to do when you suffer loss and you go through hardship is you encourage yourself in the Lord, because God's bigger than your loss. Now, I want you to note the pattern here. Before David asked God for direction, he first encouraged himself. He first had to deal with his own grief. He had to deal with his own anger. He had to deal with his own pain. Then he had to deal with being blamed by everybody else around him, when everybody else around him should have looked to him as a leader and said, "What do you believe we should do?" and should have joined him in praying. They start casting stones at him. How do we respond to the bad news? We encourage ourselves in the Lord. Listen, if you live long enough, you're going to have some setbacks. You're going to have some pain. You're going to go through some stuff. You're going to endure some times of loss. You're going to pass through some times of discouragement and grief. You're going to have those moments. How do we respond to that? We have to learn how to encourage ourselves in the Lord. Listen to what the Apostle Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. "Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." I believe that God allowed these things to happen to David to prepare him for his destiny. Nothing that happens in my life catches God off guard. The season that I'm in right now, God is going to use the experiences of that season to prepare me for the place that he's taking me. We think it's wasted time. We think, God, you need to get on with it. I'm getting older. I'm not getting younger. We need to move this thing along, Lord. Let's accelerate in Jesus' name. Let's get into the passing lane, into the fast lane. Believe it or not, God was in the apparent tragedy. If David was to become the man God uses, he must strip of everything, including his reputation, his self-will. He must cry out of his system the last tears of self-pity. He must face the full fury of loneliness and overcome it. He must put away the applause and praise for what he had accomplished and draw his strength from God. How are you going to respond to crisis? How are you going to respond to discouragement? I tell you, we're going to have to do what David did. We're going to have to empty ourselves. And we're going to have to reach deep down inside and get a hold of not our own thoughts, not our own motives, not our own abilities, but we've got to get a hold of the precious third person of the Trinity. And we've got to say, I'm going to stir up the gift of God down on the inside of me. And I'm going to encourage myself in the Lord. If nobody else is going to be encouraged, I'm going to worship and praise and declare who he is and encourage myself in the Lord. Somewhere along the way, I had to learn how to encourage myself. Somewhere along the way, I learned that I couldn't just always go to somebody else. Thank God for other people that you can go to and talk to, and they'll bless you and encourage you. But sometimes you just got to learn how to get alone in his presence and cry out to him until he intervenes. God used this to strip David. God puts you in wilderness experiences, and he puts you in hard places because he's trying to strip away the things you depend on. And he wants it to just simply be you and him. And listen, if you've lost everything today, and you've got the Lord, you've got everything you need. But notice thirdly, there's a divine response. David encouraged himself in the Lord, and when he encouraged himself in the Lord, he was strengthened. See, the Bible says, be strong in the Lord. How do I do that? I have to make up my mind that I'm going to come into agreement with the scriptures. Well, I'm waiting on God. Well, you're going to be waiting on God till Jesus comes. God's waiting on you to take some initiative to step up by faith and embrace his word. Usually waiting on God is an excuse. He encouraged himself. I mean, you think about it. The whole congregation David's leading, they're ready to stone him. What does David do? He allows the Lord to strip everything away. And he encouraged himself. And after he encourages himself, there's a new strength that comes. And what does he do? Well, look at verse 8. He inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And the Lord answered him, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. I want you to see this. David was a man of war. David was a general. David could have very easily pulled his men together and said, men, we've suffered a loss, but we got the ability. Let's come up with a battle plan. Let's put together a strategy, and let's go and overtake them and get our stuff back. But notice what David did. The Bible said David didn't come up with a plan on his own. Here's what we do. We get a plan of our own. And then we go to God and say, God, here's the plan. Bless the plan. And God said, I'm not going to bless what wasn't originated out of my heart. But the Bible said David inquired of the Lord. He inquired of the Lord. He prayed and he waited. Everybody say this word, wait. How many of you love to wait? Don't you just love to wait at a red light? None of us like to wait. We want everything instant. But David prayed and David waited. Prayer has got to be more than just going to God with a list. But sometimes you got to inquire of God and get still and quiet in his presence and listen for the still small voice to bring you direction. He waited. Sometimes we lean on our own strength. We fight our battles out of our own resources. But God's looking for somebody today who'll say, I'm not going to lean on the arm of the flesh, but I'm going to wait on his instruction. I think a number of our problems come because we don't inquire of the Lord. David suffered a terrible loss. His men turned against him. His wives and family members were lost, but he refused to give in to grief and discouragement. In the faith of God, in praying in faith, and in the face of defeat, he encouraged himself in the Lord. He prayed and he waited until the answer came, and the answer came because God is faithful. Verse 8, you shall overtake them and without fail recover all. What happened? What was the result of this story? David pursued his enemies and recovered all. Verse 18, so David recovered all. Everybody say all. He didn't recover some of it. He didn't get 9/10 of it back. He recovered everything, including grandmother's china, including the brooch that grandmother had left for the granddaughter. He got everything back that was stolen. And he rescued his two wives. And the Bible says in verse 19, nothing of theirs was lacking, neither small or great, sons or daughters, spoil or anything they had taken from them. David recovered all. Is anybody in this house today ready to recover all? Is there anybody in this house that needs to recover all? David was a mighty warrior, won great battles. But if you'll notice, many times David took time to get God's direction and instruction for the battle. God's looking for some people today who in this season will encourage themselves in the Lord. As believers, we are engaged in spiritual warfare with unseen wicked forces. To overcome our enemy in the power of the Holy Spirit, we have to remain resolute in our confidence in God and determined never to accept defeat. A story from the Korean War illustrates this attitude. As enemy forces advanced, Baker Company was cut off from the rest of their unit. For several hours, no word was heard, even though headquarters repeatedly tried to communicate with the missing troops. Finally, a faint signal was received. Straining to hear, the corpsman asked, "Baker Company, do you read me?" "This is Baker Company," came the reply. "What is your situation?" asked the corpsman. "The enemy is to the east of us. The enemy is to the north of us, the enemy is to the west of us, and the enemy is to the south of us." Then after a brief pause, a sergeant from Baker Company said with determination, "The enemy is not going to get away from us now." Listen, the enemy's to the north of us, to the south of us, to the east of us, to the west of us. If you live for Jesus, you're going to encounter the enemy of your soul. But don't be discouraged. Don't be defeated in your mind. Don't be defeated before you even engage in the battle. But know that greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And we've been made more than conquerors through the Lord Jesus Christ. How many of you are ready to pursue and recover all that you've lost? Where does that start? I have to encourage myself in the Lord. How am I going to encourage myself in the Lord? I encourage myself in the Lord through worship. I worship him when all the odds are against me. That's faith. I come before his presence when I've been devastated, when I've lost it all. And I say, "Lord, you're all I need. You're all I need. You're all I need." He's all you need this morning. And if you get your mind off of all the things you think you need and get in his presence and spend time with him and encourage yourself in the Lord, then God will give you a strategy to get what you need. I'm ready to pursue and recover all.